We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
This is where alternative media collides.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
The Jeremy Scott Show.
I want you to listen to me.
He's talking without the filter.
Yeah, the mainstream's not going to listen to us because it doesn't fit their agenda. I don't have one.
And the stories are incredible.
The government is putting these devices inside of people against their will and using them to thought police and mind control them in this manifest destiny mindset for the U.S. to take over the world.
Aliens. This time, it's war.
The Jeremy Scott Show.
Conspiracy, yeah.
That's right, we're bound to kick around a little conspiracy. Hey, I'm back. You knew you couldn't get rid of me forever. I'm Jeremy Scott, and after taking 4 months off to recharge, I'm back on LifestyleLoveRadio.net, and I'm happier than ever to be back. New Fridays will be the show at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, where alternative media collides without the filter. That means as the stories come in, I'm going to tell them. And we're going to have people on who are going to do a better job of telling those stories than I ever could. Including a man here in just minutes, who we have linked up in the WhatsApp page at LifestyleWebRadio.net, where all the show information is. It's the Jeremy Scott Show, and welcome. It's been long anticipated. I planned to bring you this show in January, but during my busiest time of the year, that was not a very wise decision. So we kept the energy going. We kept the shows playing on LifestyleWebRadio.net for you in alt anticipation for you to be right here for the debut, which you're hearing right now, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day to click on the Jeremy Scott Show. We hope to build this thing from week to week, but if you listen to the predecessor, you kind of know a little bit about me. We're going to take this show in a much different direction from that show. A lot about what people liked about the last show was the fact that we did bring new, unique, interesting stories on the air, and you heard from different people who were telling stories that were not making the mainstream. In that sense, I'm right there with you, friends. But a lot of what drove our conversation was political in nature, was one side versus the other. And I'm of the mind, now more so than ever, that you're not going to change somebody else's mind, and so why try? What I'm going to rather do with this platform every single week that I have is educate. Doesn't mean I'm the smartest person in the world. Doesn't mean the people that I have on the air are the smartest people in the world. But between them, you, the listener, and myself, I think we've got quite a big team, quite a good team, that we can at least shed some light on some of these issues. Not saying we're going to have the solution to every one of them, but we're going to talk about stuff on the air. And that doesn't mean that it's not going to come without personal experiences and opinion. Because a lot about what we're going to be talking about is less political in nature than it ever has been. But it doesn't mean that opinion will be taken out of that conversation. Certainly the juiciest piece, many people thought, of the previous show was when I would just go on a tangent, when I would just rant and rave. Well, I decided we're going to keep that in a very, very short dose, because honestly, I don't like hearing myself going on and on about a particular subject and trying to ram a point home, because again, you're not going to change people's mind. But we will save a little bit of that flavor for you at the end of our show each and every week here. It is the Jeremy Scott Show. I am so glad to have you along. It's our debut right here on Lifestyle Web Radio. And there's not a better way that I would want to kick it off than with a man who I know is going to always be worth a heck of a story. But beyond that, he's a man who I've come to respect over the years because of the fact that he stands beside what he stands beside.
This is Chad Kister, K-I-S-T-E-R, the most persecuted and victimized person on the planet today. And I need to find out who is intercepting my phone calls. I also own and run the Bessemer Hostel, and it's been a victim of economic terrorism. And your fascist Nazi terrorist organizations already locked me up twice for no reason.
Most persecuted and victimized person on the earth today. Why do you say that, Chad Kister?
Well, the brain implant is a form of terrorism, and by trying to expose it, a lot of people think of me as being insane because they don't even realize that technology exists. And coming from being a very credible author, I was giving speeches all over the U.S. and Canada, to suddenly people questioning my sanity, you know, that's a form of torture and terrorism. And it's also hurting the causes I'm involved in, trying to stop climate change and protect the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And this is a direct form of terrorism right into my head. They literally placed the voices of two people, Sasha Sagetic and Russ Martin. It's technically their thoughts. And what they do is they think of things like, you know, someone's, when I'm away from my house, they say someone's burning down the house and someone's killed my dog. And it's psychological warfare that's being committed by the Department of Homeland Security. And I've updated my brainimplant.info site. I've included a lot of links to different articles about brain implant technology. Because what I've realized in trying to convince people that this really is happening is that the number one hurdle is, well, people don't realize this technology exists. So the first step is people need to look at the science and the fact that this technology is real. It's been around for quite some time. I've got an interview with Jeff Stidell that people can listen to. This is a guy that makes brain implants. And I've transcribed it, and I've put the transcribed version of the interview up on the website, too, so people can read it without having to listen to it. But it's definitely a form of torture and terrorism. And they recently locked me up for 70 days in a mental institution just for trying to let people know about this technology and what's happened to me.
ChadKister.com, and also the website he mentioned is brainimplant.info. People who have not heard your story before, let's take them back to before this all happened. You were a very successful author and speaker, a world traveler, and all this has cut that career short or pretty much close to it, right?
Yes. Yeah. I was giving dozens of speeches per year, often some years near 100. And last year I just gave one in Michigan. And so it's really curtailed my career. And I think it's because I've been very critical of the TSA, the Transportation Security Agency. They seized a videotape of mine when I was on an airplane. And that videotape was really important to a film I was working on. And so I pressured them quite a bit and put a lot of stuff on the internet of my phone conversations with TSA agents. And it was the day the Department of Homeland Security received my Freedom of Information Act request, March 26th of 2009, that two people knocked on my door, and I answered the door, and I was knocked out with a baseball bat, and they put this device in me. And you know, the fact that this is our government assaulting its own citizens should really be a wake-up call that we don't live in a free country. When you start criticizing the police, I've sued three different police agencies successfully, and I think that's related because I was helping other people to find lawyers and to file lawsuits. A lot of people didn't realize that he actually had the right and ability to file a lawsuit against police. You know, they'd been beaten up and they had no recourse because when the police do it, who do you call? Well, there are lawyers that are willing to sue them, and that's what I was helping citizens around the country do. And so once they put this device in, it has the effect of they can, it's literal thought policing. They know what I think, and they can implant voices and engage in psychological warfare by doing that. So it's a, just a horrendous event that's occurred, and it's happened to a lot of other people because I get calls very routinely because of my website, the brainimplant.info website, that I know this is happening to other people around the U.S. And other countries as well.
And you did an interview with Al Smith of the Spy Depot, who told you the story of another woman who had one of these implants.
Right. Yes, they've he uncovered another case in which he used a spectrum analyzer, which detects wireless frequencies, and he uncovered this case. And also, he noticed it in the X-rays of the woman. So clearly, I'm not the only one that this is happening to. And yet, I've had a heck of a time trying to get the media to cover it. I'm not sure what their problem is. If they're being given national security letters or blackmailed from covering it, or if they don't realize the technology exists and they think there's something wrong with me psychologically. It's just baffling to me why I spend a huge amount of effort contacting media and trying to get them to cover the story. And it seems like the mainstream media are just, they have their blinders on. They just aren't willing to cover the story. And I don't understand why.
Well, what were you doing at the time that you say Sasha and Ross, and who are these people? How do you know their names, and why would they come after you at this certain point in your life? What were you up to at that point?
Well, they were living on the second floor of my house, and as tenants, I live on the first floor. Now I run a hostel on the second floor of my house, and they've been sending people up just to break into where I live. And I had, in my Freedom of Information Act request, I had asked for information about them as well, because I'd ever heard them wanting to do a sneak and peek, which is an unconstitutional provision of the Patriot Act where they just break into people's homes and search. And so I was trying to protect my property. Unfortunately, they don't just search stuff. They also take stuff.
Did you have anything to hide, Chad?
No, I don't. But what happens is they steal stuff, they break stuff, and they, you know, got recordings of, you know, like TSA agents that they don't, doesn't make them look very good, and they erase those recordings. So it's not a matter of hiding stuff, it's a matter of protecting stuff. You know, my possessions, they don't want me to have the ability to communicate. So they break my computers, they steal, and as a very low income person, you know, I just can't handle that. Every break-in it caused massive devastation to my life. So it's not that I'm trying to hide something, it's that I have to protect my property from goons within the U.S. government.
ChadKister.com, brainimplant.info. What is it like to have this thing swimming around inside you? And by the way, we are going to hear a little bit from Jeff Stibel. We have that. The transcript that Chad has up on his website, on our website, in the WhatsApp page at lifestylewebradio.net. But Chad, I can only imagine what it's like to have something in your head talking to you and whatever else it does.
Yeah, it's definitely a form of torture, and it's very aggravating. They use psychological warfare methods just to try to cause the maximum harm to my life. They do things like initially they're saying to try to get me to convince me that one thing was true, for example, that the FBI was looking into this case and was going to do something about it. And in the moment that I actually start to think that, oh, maybe the FBI really is going to do something about this crime, then they immediately will say, no, of course, sir. How dare you think the FBI is actually going to do something? They're the ones who caused it. So they try to, you know, convince me that, oh, you know, what I want to happen is going to happen. And the moment I actually think that, oh, hey, maybe it will happen, they actually technically think the exact opposite. And that's one of the psychological warfare methods they've used. The most common one is, though, they'll say things like, my relatives are dead, like, let's say my mom's just been killed in an accident, and then when I'm away from my home, they'll say my dog was killed and my house has been burned down. It's psychological warfare that they're committing against U.S. citizens. And I think what it is that I also have the website repealthepatriotact.org. And that might be the biggest reason they're doing it to me, is that the Patriot Act really protects goons within the FBI and Department of Homeland Security who massively assault the civil liberties of Americans. And they want to keep these protections so they can just get away with assaulting civil liberties. And I'm trying to get back to what our country stands for, the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment rights that we all cherish. And this is the most flagrant violation of the Fourth Amendment imaginable. Not only are they searching and seizing stuff from my house, which they have no right to do, they're searching my mind and stealing my thoughts. And that is everything our country was founded to avoid, is what's occurring. But because most people don't realize that technology even exists, they've been able to get away with this assault and terrorism. And it's time that citizens do something about this. You know, write letters to the editor, call, talk radio shows, and really try to get the word out about this. Because if they can get away with doing this to one person, they could do it to anyone in our great country.
You gave examples of, you know, the things that, you know, the people have tried to, you know, do to you, and here's one of those examples.
When I left my message, I tried your cell phone, and I think your aunt or something answered the phone. She said it's her cell phone. I don't know.
The 70s?
When I gave, your aunt answered the phone and said that sometimes you give her number because your phone doesn't get signal sometimes or something. I don't know.
Huh, no one's supposed to answer that. That's my cell phone. Huh,
she said she's at work. She works down there or something.
Huh, no one's supposed to be answering my phone. That would be pretty odd. I mean, I've got my cell phone.
I don't know. She said she was your aunt. Because she also said, you know, that address you gave me wasn't... If we mailed it to that, would you say Bessemer or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
If we mail it there, you won't get it. It has to go to P.O. Box something.
Because, I mean, someone is intercepting my phone. I mean, that's no one is supposed to be answering my phone calls. I mean, that's a serious crime.
Yeah, all I know is the lady said it was, she was your aunt.
Well, you're witnessing a crime. No one has my permission to answer any of my phone calls. My cell phone's with me. I don't have an aunt that I know of near here.
I mean, I can call it again.
Yes, please, because this needs to be reported to the FBI. Would that be the FBI? You're witnessing a major
I don't know that it would be even be a crime.
Well, yeah, I mean, someone's in a
account set up.
No one is supposed to be answering my phone calls. That's my personal cell phone. I don't have any aunt that answers any phone calls whatsoever for me. I mean, someone is maliciously intercepting my... That is weird, and that is... I mean, that's a major crime. Interference with communication systems is an act of terrorism under the USA Patriot Act.
I don't know. I think you're blowing it out of proportion, actually, because you don't even know yet if you gave the right number. You could have given the wrong number on your answer machine. I don't know. You need to look into it a little bit.
Yeah, I will.
Hey, Chad, who is that woman?
I'm not sure who is intercepting my phone calls. The guy who is speaking there is Ernie Ankrum, a police lieutenant from Upper Arlington, and he was trying to get records about me to me. And the fact is I did give the right number on my answering machine. I checked it out with him, and I also checked out the phone number to make sure that he had called the right number. And also he had indicated that he definitely was given my name, so it wasn't like he called the wrong person or something. It was definitely someone who was intercepting my phone calls. And, you know, I spend a lot of money on advertising. I've got a hostel that I run on the second floor of my house, and I also run a kennel. And they've been vacant most of the time, even though I've got by far the best prices in the country. It's just $10 per night for someone to stay in my hostel. and I've got room for 10 people, I'm losing $100 a day in revenue, and I have a kennel with room for about at least 10 dogs, so I'm losing about $100 a day, and that's in a different structure. And so when they intercept my phone calls, that's a major crime. Plus there's a call intended for me. She tried to intercept documents intended for me to a P.O. box. Because when I was growing up, I was active in my high school, and I read an article for a high school newspaper about how police were violating the Fourth Amendment rights of students. And so they had the police had a lot of documents related to that because they did an investigation. And so these are records from before I was 18 that, were intended for me, that this woman was trying to intercept these records. And nothing, no one would prosecute. The sheriffs of Athens County wouldn't prosecute. The Arlington police wouldn't prosecute. The FBI wouldn't prosecute, because it's being done by the government, so they don't prosecute it.
It seems like there's, a red flag against you, and it, pops up no matter who you call or what the issue happens to be. It's automatically, discounted because they know who you are?
Yes, I think that because I've been critical of police, they treat me as a second-class citizen, and they're never willing to prosecute any crime that I'm the victim of. And yet they've been trumping up false charges. I've got an upcoming jury trial this month where they accused me of harassing the dispatchers for calling in, trying to get them to arrest people who have broken into my house, like William Black, who I caught on video robbing me, and people can see that video at the website repealthepatriotact.org. And yet, not only would they not arrest him, they actually arrested me for trying to get the police to do their duty. And I've got a jury trial later this month related to that, and so they've been trumping up false charges against me.
Were you hostile with them on the phone?
No, not at all. I've been very polite and very, just telling them the facts, pleading with them to do their duty and arrest people like William Black, who, I know who they are because they've stayed on the second floor of my house. They've signed documents never to enter the first floor, which is where I live, and he went through a window, so obviously he wasn't allowed to. On the video, he's wearing socks on his hands. So it's obvious he's not supposed to be there, and yet the sheriff still would not arrest him.
Are you going to do something?
No.
Why?
Sir, I'm not getting into it with you. This is something that we do not get involved in. It's a local law enforcement issue.
Yeah, when local law enforcement failed to do their duty, the FBI does have the authority to intervene.
We're not getting involved.
Or you need to. You're in dereliction of duty now. Can I get your name?
No.
Well, you're committing a crime, and dereliction of duty is a crime.
What do you make of that when you can't even get the local FBI office to take you seriously?
Well, I think they are the ones who are doing this, so I think they know full well what's going on, but it's clandestine, and so, they don't want people to know about it. But yeah, when they're the ones who are perpetrating the crime, they're certainly not going to want to do something to solve the crime. So, but it's very frustrating because you just don't get more of a violation of someone's rights than to actually stick devices into your head. This is brain surgery being done against people's will in the United States of America. People think we live in a free country. We don't live in a free country anymore since the Patriot Act was passed. It's a neo-Nazi dictatorship. It's a terrorist police state. But because they've been able to keep most of these horrendous crimes hidden, most people go on about the day not thinking about what's going on. When it used to be before the Patriot Act, they would often, you'd see on the news the police kicking down people's doors and doing searches, and the news used to cover that kind of stuff, and when they just found a few joints, people got outraged about it, or when they found nothing at all. But now these kind of searches are done in secret, and so we've got this Gestapo police state But the media are covering the police like they're God, and they like they do nothing wrong, with a few exceptions. And so what it's created is this super powerful police state. And the FBI are failing in their duty to protect my civil liberties.
We're going to take a quick break, come back with more of Chad Kister, as we're going to ask more about the brain implant. He told us the story. We want to know what life is like. And we'll also hear a little bit of conversations that he had with a man who knows a whole bunch about that technology, and with a witness to somebody else's brain implant. That's all to come.
The Jeremy Scott Show.
Lifestyle Web Radio is now 24/7 with live programs and classic archives around the clock. You'll never miss out. Plus, our archives are always accessible in the podcast page at lifestylewebradio.net.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. A national study by NIH-funded researchers may help specialists predict when teens have their first drink. Dr. Samuel Cooperman at the University of Iowa explains.
What was interesting about our study is that the most significant factor was that whether most or all your best friends drank. And we explored that, and it seems that despite coming from families where alcoholism was a problem, these kids got their first drink of alcohol from their peers.
Knowing this may help head off problem drinking. For more information on this study, as well as the dangers of teen alcohol use, visit www.niaaa.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the NIH, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We're always streaming live programs and classic archives. Lifestyle Web Radio.
Collides without the filter. This is the Jeremy Scott Show.
Our show continues. I sure hope you're enjoying it. The man with me is Chad Kister. He's from the state of Ohio, calls himself the most victimized and persecuted man. He told the story a little bit earlier about the day when Sasha and Ross, next door neighbors of his, came in and attacked him with a baseball bat and implanted him with a device that is now influencing his thoughts and actions. What does that mean for you on a daily basis, Chad?
Well, I feel like my country has betrayed me, that you know, everything our country stands for is being flushed down the drain, and that the police that are supposed to be doing their duty to protect me from these kind of assaults, they're actually becoming the villains. They're becoming the perpetrators of the crimes. And it really upsets me that they can get away with this, and that the media and people who should be taking notice of this kind of stuff are just kind of looking the other way or ignoring the issue. It's very frustrating, and it definitely makes me very angry at those in the government who are causing the problems, the police, the FBI. And it's often kind of hopeless of what to do about it. But luckily, I keep plugging away. I keep contacting different media outlets, and keep trying to get the word out about this. But it's very frustrating, and it's definitely torture.
Who else do you know or know of who's gone down a similar route as you?
Well, I've gotten calls from lots of people who say they are also victims of this, and some have been victims for more than 10 years. So apparently this is something that's been going on for quite some time, and they're all over the U.S. And I think they might be in other countries as well. But it's definitely a widespread issue. And, when I think they've done a lot, when they say they're the media are implanted, again, the military, I think that's one of the things they do is they actually stick implants into them.
You must be getting a lot of emails there.
Yeah, a few. Again, I think they intercept my emails and as well as my phone calls to try to cover this up. You know, I've already documented the fact that they're intercepting phone calls. And when I spend a lot of money as a very low-income person on advertising, that's very, very damaging when they intercept, because I pay a lot of money for every phone call and email trying to get people to stay in my hospital and to get dogs to stay in my kennel. And when they can, you know, just get away with doing that, you know, it's no wonder our country's $16 trillion in debt. The government is waging war on its own people. This is definitely an act of war, and, you know, putting these devices into people against their will, and hoping that the United Nations will do something about it as well.
Tell us about what Al Smith had to say. He's from the Spy Depot. Take us back to that day and what he had to tell you.
Yeah, I drove up to the near Columbus at Reynoldsburg, where he's got a shop, Spy Depot. He sells devices like, you know, pens that have cameras in them, stuff like that. But he also has a spectrum analyzer, and he detects wireless frequencies. And first, I also talked with him on the phone several times as well. And he, you know, told me that he had uncovered this case of this woman that had an implant. And then he also detected the wireless frequencies in my head as well. And he also said he could read the x-rays that the woman and clearly identified the implant in the x-rays, which he also saw in my x-rays. And so it's, I was hoping, I tried, you know, put that clip right on the internet, and I thought, oh, surely the Columbus Dispatch will cover this or some of the radio stations, but they haven't. And, you know, why is baffling to me is the mainstream media just seems to have their blinders on.
It's a good way of putting it, blinders. ChadKister.com, BrainImplant.info. You can get transcripts of the conversation with Jeff Stibel of BrainGate. We'll be hearing from him here in just a little bit. But that conversation now with Al Smith of the Spy Depot.
I'm curious if you could give more information about if she had a RF radio frequency signal from a device inside her head.
Yeah.
And so she clearly didn't, she didn't want to have that, or she didn't know that that device was in her head until you spotted it on an x-ray?
She suspected it, and someone referred her to me.
Huh.
And then I issued a statement in writing that I did detect a transmitting frequency coming from her head by utilizing the spectrum analyzer.
And that was that device that I saw? That
yeah. I used my handheld, and I thought, wow, this thing's going wild. So then I got the spectrum analyzer out.
Huh.
And then I was really, I could, well, that's when I said, boy, I don't believe this.
Huh. And did you say, do you look at x-rays of, did she bring an x-ray?
Yeah, she showed me they were on a disk. She
huh.
downloaded it. Not into my hard drive, but on the computer.
Huh.
And I couldn't believe what I saw. And then I said, you know, that's it right there.
Huh.
She says, I'm glad you pointed because I wanted to see if you saw what I saw.
Yeah. Wow. And so she obviously didn't authorize something like that to be put in. That just someone.
Well, she said she doesn't know how it got there.
Yeah. Huh. It's amazing.
Yep.
And but see, you don't know what ever happened to that case.
No.
If this is happening, if someone's, it's wow. So you don't remember the frequency, or is it an unusual frequency?
No, I don't remember.
Do you know if it was ascending and receiving frequency, or?
It could be, this is what you call a transceiver. A device that transmits and receives. You call that a transceiver.
Okay.
Dual transmission.
Okay.
It's a possibility it could be a transceiver device.
Okay.
Which means that I don't know, I don't remember if she told me that she could hear things. I vaguely I don't know if that was the reason for her coming in or what.
You can try to remember why she suspected something was...
Well, I don't remember the whole conversation, but like I say, I always ask everybody, you know, how'd you find out about it?
Yeah.
And she had told me someone sent her to me, someone that knew me, said if you want a straight guy, he got the equipment, C.L. Smith. Because when she came in, she asked for my name. I said, you're looking at
it. But you think she may have been hearing, like someone might have been implanting voices into her head or something?
That could be a possibility, but, you know, I just don't know.
And then there's Jeff Stibel, who is involved with the company BrainGate. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Chad? They're a company who is behind this technology. So we've heard from somebody yourself, and you told us the story of others who've been directly impacted by this thing inside them. We've also heard from somebody who has heard from other people and has investigated their own reports, and then we're hearing from a maker of such technology.
Yes, and he gives quite a glowing review of this technology, and there are definitely potential good with this technology for paraplegics to be able to surf the internet and to connect people's brains with prosthetic limbs. That's the good side of this technology. But if you look at the interview, he admits that the Department of Homeland Security and police have been interested in using this technology to thought police and interrogate people. And at the very end of the interview, he says, you know, I shouldn't concern myself with the potential harms of this technology. Well, he didn't realize when we did the interview, I don't think, that I'm a victim of this, so I know full well the harms, you know, because I'm a victim of the harms of this technology. But, you know, I think as the maker of these devices, he's, you know, hoping that they'll be used for good, for, you know, paraplegics and connecting with devices that can improve their lives. But there certainly are problems with this technology. When it's used nefariously, when it's used against people's will, is the main thing, that it's definitely not a good thing. It's, you know, it's a form of torture. It's terrorism in and of itself. And this is caused by the Department of Homeland Security. They're the ones who are supposed to prevent acts of terrorism, and here they are causing acts of terrorism on U.S. soil. And then they try to cover it up. I was locked up for 70 days in horrendous conditions in a mental hospital, and they would not even allow me to talk with the media. They're trying to cover this whole story up. And the only reason I was in there is because of the brain implant, as they said, that because I said I had a brain implant, that it's a psychological disorder, and they locked me up. So they're trying to cover it up. They wouldn't even let me out until I said that I didn't have a brain implant. I would still be locked up right now if I didn't deny it. So that's how they do it. And then they get the denial on the record of, they in court, and they say that, hey, denies having it, therefore it's not happening. And that's what they've done in pretty much all the other cases that I've encountered. They lock the people up, and they tell them, unless you deny this is happening, you're going to stay locked up.
Here's Jeff Stibel of BrainGate.
I think the potential of BrainGate is absolutely tremendous. I mean, for people who are suffering through injury, trauma, or otherwise, it has the ability to both help them, allow them to communicate, but also help them enable prosthetics and chairs and other devices just in thought. And it's absolutely tremendous for the handicapped population. And then, of course, for you and I and others who are, in my case, less disabled, not completely, more fully functioning people, the ability to use your thought to control electrical devices. It is really the transformation of science fiction to reality.
And do you have one a brain implant in yourself?
I of course do not, no.
Okay.
There have only been about 5 or 6 patients that have been implanted at this point, and there's very limited FDA trials going on right now.
And what about some of the more potentially nefarious uses if someone were to, say, put these in someone's brains against their will or consent?
Always, you know, it's always a possibility. It's always a risk with any new technology. There isn't a technology or an innovation out there that can't be used for good or evil. It depends on the intentions of both the inventors and the people who use it.
What is the potential for the ability to see what people see, like use people's vision as a video camera? Have you ever heard of that potential?
I have, and, you know, again, like everything else that is being processed through the brain, vision is processed through electrical and chemical reactions, and, you know, the ability to actually tap into those electrical connections, similar to what you do with brain gates, is real, and it is going to be a reality. So, again, that can be used for good or evil, for commercial gain or to help humanity. But the potential is there, it's tremendous.
What about being able to hear what people hear?
Again, same exact thing. You're talking about electrical impulses, and the ability is absolutely real. And you can use that for many different purposes and uses, but that is certainly something that is not out of the realm of reality.
Does the technology exist to read people's thoughts?
That's exactly what it does. So this is a microchip that's implanted in someone's brain, and we effectively read the thoughts of the person. In our case, we're trying to do it to control movement. So we can determine that someone is trying to move a mouse cursor, interpret that, and allow the mouse cursor to move just with the thought. Mm-hmm. You can play video games on the computer using this technology.
How would you keep it charged in the brain?
There'll be a battery within a small system in the brain, or just above the surface of the cranium, the skull, and that battery would transmit then the information to the computer, which would store the larger battery, obviously.
Okay.
You can need very, very little power. You can also go and do some research. If you go to braingate.com, there's a good amount of information on that.
How long would the battery last before you'd need to, and how would you charge it?
You're talking about an implant the size of, literally the size of a small M&M.
Okay.
These are tiny, they use very little power.
How hard is it to transfer the brain's code into a computer interface?
It's incredibly difficult. And it's taken years and years and years of technology advancement to be able to do it. You're basically converting a biological system into a computer system. But fundamentally, the brain's computer system, neurons, isn't that different than a computer system. So fundamentally, in theory, it's reasonably straightforward. In practice, it's turned out to be incredibly difficult.
Chad, stick around. I want you to continue to tell your story. We'll do that right after this.
The Jeremy Scott Show. Jeremy Scott Show.
Lifestyle Web Radio, 24/7 means we're always streaming live programs and classic archives. Listen on the PC, or best of all, take us with you. Hear LWR on many mobile devices at lifestylewebradio.net.
Over 13 million people are affected by famine, war, and drought in the Horn of Africa. Unfortunately, just listening to this commercial won't help them. Just listening won't give them their next meal, or shelter, or hope. You can help by texting GIVE to 777-444 to donate $10 and by going to usaid.gov/FWD to forward the facts. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USAID. Text donations go directly to Consortium of Humanitarian Relief Organizations. Standard text and data rates apply.
Want to know some fun facts about colonoscopies? Colon cancer is 90% preventable. A colonoscopy can detect and prevent colon cancer in one fell swoop. But here's a not-so-fun fact. Lots of people are so uncomfortable even talking about a colonoscopy that they never get one. If you're 50 or 45 for African Americans, get screened now. Maybe even earlier if you have a family history. To schedule a screening today, visit StopColonCancerNow.com.
Independent Talk Radio 24/7. Lifestyle Web Radio.
It's okay. Tell your friends what you heard on the Jeremy Scott Show. They may look at you a little funny, but it's not the first time.
Hey, I'm Jeremy Scott. I'm back. This is the first ever Jeremy Scott Show. And what a one we're having with a man who I can always rely on for his interesting stories. He's Chad Kister. ChadKister.com and BrainImplant.info. We've got links up at LifestyleWebRadio.net to the What's Hot page. That's the section you should be checking out because we've got the most evidence for this segment posted up there. Also in the Jeremy Scott Show page as well, and the podcast to come shortly after the show. We're new every single Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, so make sure that you set whatever reminder you need to and join us because we're going to be telling stories just like this on the air every single week. So, Chad, this has happened to you, and then you've basically had to change your business plan. Instead of being a public speaker and sharing your knowledge, something you had studied for, you're now basically just trying to survive, and you're still being persecuted to this day. Tell us about some of the stories, including, well, you told us a little bit about the phone calls being intercepted, but it goes beyond that. There's been personal attacks against you. You mentioned a little bit about burglaries and thefts, and then you were locked up. Kind of take us from a point where you had this thing put in you to where we are now, I guess, four and a half years later.
Yeah, it's been a little more than 4 years. It was on March 27th, 2009, when they put this device in. And I've even gone to Cuba to try to expose this, as well as to Canada twice. And so I've gone to great lengths to try to get the truth out about this. Now, in Canada, in Toronto, Ontario, the Canadian police asked me to go to one of their hospitals to get the device out so they can use it as evidence against the U.S. But when I went into the hospital, the CIA had their goons there that literally pushed me out. They even said it with the CIA and said I have no business being in Canada and I need to get out. I went to a different hospital and they did the exact same thing. They use this technology to know exactly when I'm going into a hospital, exactly where I am, and they literally pushed me out the door. And then I flew to Cuba, and there I did get to a hospital in Morón, Cuba, and I've got the diagnosis of that at the website. They found a frontal sinus communication, which is another word for brain implant. And they also found skull fractures that they did not diagnose using the same MRI data in the U.S. They're covering up the skull fractures when I got hit in the head with the baseball bat. But when I was asking about getting the device out, they said that, well, your brain surgery is so delicate, they really need to talk to the people who put the device in to know how to get it out. And so that's what's left me in limbo. The people who put it in won't admit it. And other countries say they can't safely get it out without knowing exactly how they put it in. But there's been there's quite a number of assaults that I've been the victim of, the robberies, and I have actually been physically assaulted when I was in a mental institution. I punched very hard in the back of the head. And it's the lack of police coverage that's just, you know, I feel like I'm a sitting duck because the people just get away with doing whatever they want against me and nothing happens. Even when I catch them on video, like I've got William Black on video, you know, with socks on his hands robbing me, and, you know, as a very low income person, it's very difficult to be robbed and still survive. You know, as it is, I earn way less than the poverty line, because they're engaging in economic terrorism by intercepting my phone calls and my emails. And so it's It's made it very, very difficult to live. I think what they want me to do is to commit suicide. And what they don't realize is I've backpacked 700 miles through the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and lived off the land. I've been through very hard times in my life. And that, I think, is what's prepared me to deal with this psychological warfare. If I hadn't had that kind of background, who knows what I might have done. But I've got a very strong will to live, and, having thousands of acres of national forest right in my backyard makes it nice. I can get walking in the forest when I'm free, whenever I want. And so that's been helping to get me through this. But it's most people, I don't think, would survive this because they are engaged in 24/7 psychological warfare.
Where do you go from here?
Well, my hope is that people listening to this will get their local media to cover this. Contact your local newspaper, television station, radio station, and say, "Hey, look into this issue. We can't let this go on. If this could happen to one person, this could happen to anyone in our country." Write letters to the editor, direct them to my websites, and call talk radio shows, ask them to cover this issue. Because I think the goal is to do this to a lot more people and to cover up horrendous abuses of civil liberties.
Tell us about your websites.
Well, the website most directly related to this, of course, is brainimplant.info. And just a few days ago, I updated it. Added a links page to quite a number of articles to help show people that this technology exists. Because that was the first step. And I've been trying to convince people that this is really happening when the government's trying to cover it up. That's an uphill struggle to begin with. I thought my x-rays would just do it, because you don't have to be a doctor to see it in the x-rays. And so my hope is that that would just solve the problem and the media would cover it and the truth has come out about this. Unfortunately, it hasn't been that easy. A lot of people just don't realize the technology exists. And so that's why I've been adding lots of links to science articles talking about this technology. Another one of my websites, chadkister.com, I've documented a lot of the attacks I'm a victim of. I also list the four books I've published and links to my hostile charity and the kennel that I run. But there you can really see, you can hear, I've been victim of death threats, and you can just hear the audio itself, and yet no one's ever been charged for all these crimes. You can see the video of me being robbed, and I even have the phone number of the sheriff. You can call and ask them, why haven't you done anything about this? And you have a recording device going, and get the media to look into it. You can see the video, you can call the sheriffs and themselves and say, why didn't you do something about this? It'd be interesting to hear their response. I also have the website repealthepatriotact.org, where I also show the video of me being robbed, because I found out later William Black works for the NSA. He was a Freedom of Information Act request officer for the National Security Agency. Which is why I included that video at that website.
Chad, we appreciate the time. We'll continue to direct folks to your story. We'll do our part. Hope others will join.
Thanks. Thanks so much for the interest. That this can be going on in a country like ours without the people knowing about it is a real shame, and I'm glad that you're doing your part to help rectify that.
Indeed, I always appreciate Chad's story. Well, it's the debut of the Jeremy Scott Show. It's not the first time I've had a chance to talk with Chad. In fact, been following his story over the past 4 years, and I'll continue to follow it because it's one of those unique stories in the world today that is continuing to evolve. It's not like he was the victim once of persecution by this United States government, but it's over and over and over again. And those are the kind of stories you can expect weekly on the Jeremy Scott Show. We're new Fridays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, whole page telling Chad's stories up in the What's Hot page at lifestylewebradio.net. Hey, my friends, it's been fun. It's that time of the show where you're going to hear me let loose a little bit.
Uh-oh, not again.
This is the kind of mind-numbing schlock that's turning our society into a cultural wasteland.
It's Jeremy's rant time.
That's right. I have an opinion. You don't like it? I don't know, send me an email.
After all, it is his show.
There is some special hell waiting for that guy.
Listener discretion is advised.
Guns. Boy, that is a hot word in society today. Guns and gun control, they're going together like two peas in a pod. Of course, the Newtown shooting, one a little closer to my neck of the woods in Clackamas, Oregon at a mall. And other incidents that have involved innocent family members, police officers, and deranged individuals taking it upon themselves to cause hell in this world. But what has happened since then is absolutely an outrage. It's an outrage because people are using the victims in such a way to push their position that is degrading. It's as if they know what this person would want after they've left us when it comes to concealed carry and whatnot in this country. To Connecticut's credit, their state Senate has moved forward with legislation that bans about 100 weapons and also the sale of large capacity ammunition magazines. That's what Connecticut is doing. And President Barack Obama has, in past days, trumpeted his horn, applauding the efforts of Colorado as well as Connecticut, putting his stamp of approval on their laws and saying it's more in line of what I would like to do nationally. Something has to be done, and we've got to agree on that to start. If we cannot agree that something needs to be done, let alone what in fact the problems are, then there's no way of solving it. A pair of sisters, who I thought were quite educated from my state of Oregon, have made national headlines lately, basically blaming all these shootings on the white man in general and the white government. Well, I'm sorry, but last time I looked, our president was black, and there are plenty of African Americans who serve this country. And to imply that somebody like myself, or like you maybe, the white man specifically, we understand that they're sexist first, and they're anti-American. Putting this on one particular party, one particular lifestyle, one particular demo, no. Not gonna fly with me. First, we've got to agree what the problems are. And it's as simple as this. Guns are getting into the hands of people who don't need them because of what they could or would do with them. Agree there. Move forward. Here are the ways that they are getting a hold of them. Put a stop to it. Save lives. Quit bitching. Seems like that's what everybody is more into doing. Somebody in power, that is. The sane rest of us would say, and still say, come on, get it done. Is it really that hard? Is it really that hard to close the loopholes? My friends, I'm Jeremy Scott. Thank you so much for spending an hour with me. We're here Fridays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, with a new show every Friday afternoon into the evening, and replays always 24-7 at lifestylewebradio.net. Check out our podcast page, our show page for guest info and whatnot. Thanks to Chad Kistner. Next week, the effects of fracking on our water supply. We're also going to talk about payroll tax and much more. It's the Jeremy Scott Show on Lifestyle Web Radio.